Jesus. We're going to see if we can get started on time and quit on time. And we just put it in your hands, asking that you would make this alive inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to finish up the study on church today. We'll move on to something else next week. Matter of fact, I think somebody else is going to be teaching next week. The reason that we do this is to help you. It's not to hurt you. It's to challenge you. It's to take you further, to look into things. Okay? I'm going to go over an outline. We're going to just read a couple verses. So turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. We're going to read through verse 18. I'm going to give you a basic outline on church, okay? Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You're blessed, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this foundational confession you just made, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So here's an outline, okay? The foundational confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is what the whole church is built on, okay? That's what the church is built on, who Jesus is. Number two, church is started by Jesus. Okay, it's peculiar to Jesus. Buddhists don't have church. Muslims don't have church. Nobody else has church, just Jesus. He's the one who started church. Okay, the word church means a called out assembly. See, look at over at this table. See how there's five people? Well, Jesus is like this. I'm calling you to come with me. And a couple out of the world, maybe, you see? Like if they represented all the people of the world, maybe a couple gets up and follows him. Not everybody does. He's calling them out from a group. So he's calling us out of the world. He's calling to everybody in the world and saying, "Hey, come here to me." And we're going to follow him if what he says is what we want. It's in our heart. If it's not in our heart, we're not going to follow him. If a Muslim calls for people to come together, I don't go to them. Do you understand? Because what they believe is not in my heart. Are you with me? The Ku Klux Klan calls a meeting, I don't go to it. If the Michigan militia call a meeting, I don't go to it. If Christ calls, I go to it because I want what he's about. Do you understand? Sorry? Do you understand? Okay. I'll try to help you. It's called responding. All right. You ready? So, the church is peculiar to Jesus. He started it. He said it's built on who he is, which is the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God in the flesh. Okay? Are you with me? It belongs, the church belongs to Jesus. And he said, "I'm going to build my church." He said, "I'm going to build you." God's building you. God is building you. God is working with you to help strengthen you, bring you along, build you up. He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The devil doesn't have any power over us except what we give him. That's a little side note. The devil has no power over you except what you give him. Okay? This week, he overcame me, what day was that? Thursday? Friday? I think it was Friday. He overcame me, got all these thoughts in me, got me depressed, got me getting my focus off where it should be. And it's because I gave him that entrance. And that's why we gotta. That's why we need Jesus, because Jesus says, "I will not let the devil overtake you." Look in Luke 24, last chapter of Luke. If you go to John, you go back one chapter. Luke 24. If you're in John, you go back one chapter. Luke 24, in verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. Are you there? Okay. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." In other words, the whole Old Testament. He said, all these things, all these prophecies about me had to be fulfilled, and you've seen them fulfilled in my life, is what he's saying to them, because this is after he had rose from the dead. He said, all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, that's the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of Old Testament, and in the prophets, all the rest of the books that are in there, minor, major prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. He says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, now watch what he did in verse 46. Harvey, why do you always talk about the death, burial, and resurrection? Matter of fact, Pastor Glenn one time, he told me, he said that he rode around with me and in my job, and he came to work with me for a month. And he said he rode around with me, and he said, one day you said, a church is a hospital for sinners. And he said, and when you said that, it was like a great big wall between me and God came crashing down. He said, and then you led me to the Lord. I said, when did I lead you, Lord? He said, anybody that hangs around here is going to come to Jesus, or they're going to get away. He says, because all you ever talk about is the death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Look in verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. And that repentance and remission of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins, removal of sins, should be preached in his name, Jesus' name, among all nations, beginning where you live, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And you and I are the witnesses. You and I are the ones that are supposed to preach that is what how people are going to get. They need to repent. My way is wrong. God's way is right. I don't want my way. I don't want sin. I want the Savior. And then God's going to remove, forgive our sins. We're the witnesses. He says, and you are witnesses of these things. Do you ever, this week, did you hear yourself talking to anybody about Jesus? This week, did you find yourself witnessing to somebody? Praying for somebody? Did you? Because what you've received, you give. God came along, dealt in my heart as I read the word, and I realized I was going to hell. And then I saw Jesus on the cross for me. Father, forgive Harvey, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And it broke my heart, and I accepted what he did, and he forgave me of my sin. He lifted that weight off of me. Do you remember when you met Jesus? I felt like I wasn't even like touching the ground. I just felt so light. Do you remember that? Now, you receive a gift like that. You enter into a truth like that. You can't quit talking about it. If that never happened to you, no wonder you don't talk about it. But when that happens to you, how do you not talk about it? See what I'm saying? When you know that you're loved, when you weren't lovely, lovable, or loving, when you know that you were forgiven, when you should have been beaten? Then what ends up happening is when you have hope, you help other people have hope. When you have joy, you help other people have joy. When you have peace, you help other people. You share that peace with them. I got peace like river. I got peace like river. Want a little bit of peace? I got peace like river in my soul. You got some peace? Huh? How's this? How's this peace feel? Huh? You can't help but talk about what you're full of. So what's the purpose of the church? Is for us to be witnesses. Look in Luke. You just saw it. I believe it's verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Okay. Now, turn over to Acts. We'll go to chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1:8. And what I didn't read over there in Luke 24, he says, "But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He says, I want you to be witnesses. But see, back then the Holy Spirit wasn't living in people. When Jesus left the earth, then the Holy Spirit came to indwell people. Okay? He says, when I leave, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. And you're going to have another comforter. And he's going to come live inside of you. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came inside of them, then he says, and when this Holy Spirit comes inside of you, then you're going to be witnesses. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's going to come upon you. And then you're going to be witnesses unto me. Now watch, they were in Jerusalem. He says, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, all the surrounding area, and in Samaria, go further out than that, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you're going to first start talking to people around you, your family. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what happened. I got peace. I got joy. Hey, he forgave me. Hey, I'm going to heaven. And then after you talk to your family, then you're going to start talking to the people you're working with. And then you're going to start talking to your neighbors. And then you're going to start talking to people you ride the bus with and get in the taxi cabs. And when you go to the airport, when you go to the grocery store, and when you everywhere you go, when you get on the plane and you're heading toward Africa or whatever, you can't help it. Under the uttermost parts of the world, wherever you go. Get this, because you're going to talk about what you're full of. If I ever want to talk about hunting, all I do is I look for Abby when I'm here. Abby or Dudley. And I know they want to talk about hunting. If I want to talk about fishing, I look for Pastor Glenn. He wants to talk about fishing. Okay? We talk about what we're full of. One day, one period of time in my life, God said to me, Harvey, listen to what people talk about. That's what they're full of. Listen to what people talk about. That's what's on their heart. That's what their mind and their life is filled with. Okay? Turn to verse 12 through 14 of chapter 1, Acts. Acts 1, 12 through 14. We're talking about, I'm giving you the outline on the church here. Okay? They were told to wait for God in verses 12 through 14. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode or where stayed both Peter and James and John and all the rest of them except for Judas the traitor. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord, one purpose, in unity, in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They gathered together, they prayed, they waited, they did what God said. God brought them into unity because their focus was him. He didn't bring them into unity because they all played bingo together and they all liked bingo. He didn't bring them into unity because they all liked going to garage sales. He didn't bring them into unity because, do you follow me? He brought them into unity because of Jesus. We're talking about the church, because this is going to be the last time. We're only going to talk about it for about 12 more minutes. Okay? So, what happened? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. What happened next? And when the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, and when the day of Pentecost, Penta meaning 5 or 50, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in unity in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or divided tongues, like as a fire. In other words, a picture of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all got excited and fell on the floor and said, Yahoo. Is that what it says? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What they did was they began to speak about Jesus. They got filled up with God, and they couldn't quit talking about Him. And if you look, if you keep going through chapter 2, down through verse 36, go to verse 36. Because what they did, remember Jesus said in Luke 24, He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And you are witnesses of these things. Okay? And then you see a fulfillment of this in Acts chapter 2. He said that in Luke 24. Acts chapter 2, you see a fulfillment of this. And Peter begins preaching. And verse 36, he ends the sermon by saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They preached Jesus in the crucifixion. And they preached this to the people who had just personally nailed Jesus to the cross 7 weeks before. And they preached this. And the people, look at verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was humility. There was teachability. There was not, okay, we got this figured out. We need to go, we're Jews. We need to go take some animals up to the synagogue and offer them. No, they said, what do we need to do? They laid down what they had because they realized they were moved. They were touched by God. Have you ever been touched by God when there was preaching? Have you been touched by God? When you got touched by God, you have a choice. Everybody has a choice. I want you to look at me for a second. Look at me for a second. When you witness to people, everybody is not going to respond right. A lot of them are not. They've been disillusioned by Christians. You're a Christian, and yet you're lying. You're sleeping with that person. You just stole from me. You know, I've had, or bosses. You can't be a Christian because you work. The other Christians are all lazy. They stand around. They were just, there's guys, all they do is talk about Jesus. I can't get a good day's work out of them. When you go to witness to people, God is going to move through you and touch them. But they have a choice of how they're going to respond. With these people that were recorded here, it says, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And there's going to be people like you with me when I talk to you and you go, Brother Harvey, what should I do? What? How do I get there? What's next? You're going to have that in your life. And they told him, real simple, repent and get baptized. Repentance is you making a choice. My way is wrong. I don't want it anymore. I want Jesus. I need you to save me. Not just save me from the penalty of my sin of going to hell, but I need you to save me from the power of it. I don't want it to control my life anymore. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then I want to get baptized because I'm going to picture Baptism is submission and obedience, and it's a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And these people said, yes, I received that. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them. They joined the church. What do we find in verse 42? They submitted and followed leadership, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, and in the apostles' fellowship. They hung out with them. And in breaking of bread, and in prayers, that breaking of bread could be one of two things. It could be that they were having communion, Lord's Supper. It could be that they were spending time together and breaking bread, like a lot of times we'll do with people after church. We say, want to go out to eat? Want to go out to eat? Let's go break some bread. You know? That's what that is. And in prayers, because they realized, we need God. What's next? They were looking for directions, but they were looking for his presence, and they were looking for his power. But they were looking for his provision, for him to show up. What's next, God? We need you. Wow, we've just started. What do we do? Keep reading. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. That's a holy fear. It's like, I don't want to go back to my ways. Would you like to go back to your ways? No, no, no. There was a holy fear came upon him. And it says, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know why? Because the people, did you see what they were doing? They submitted and followed the leadership, and they were like, listening, teach me. What do I need to learn? Wow, everything I've known up till now, I would have gone to hell. I need to start all over, ground zero. Here, look, I got a blank page. You want to fill it? You show me. How do I live? And when they started doing that, it's like as they're hearing this, they're like, because they're wide open. They're HLBs, hungry little birds for Jesus. You know, they got the mouth wide open, stretching for the worm. Are you with me? And they were like wide open. And as they were doing this, and they're praying, and God shows up, because he's got people that are humble, he's got people that are obedient, he's got people that are teachable, he's got people that are willing, and it says in great power, and they were depending on God, because they were praying and saying, God, we're afraid to move without you. That's what prayer is. That's one of the things prayer is. God, I'm afraid to move without you. You understand? Now that I got it figured out. I want to make a confession here. For a long time, I used to tell God, God, I don't need your help. I'm doing pretty good. I got this figured out. Why don't you go help those other people that are stumbling? Those other Christians. I got this one, God. I was full of pride. I didn't understand. I didn't know. I loved God, but I had stuff that God needed to work out of me. Pride. Instead of being dependent upon God, I was independent. I took what I had, I started running with it, and I told God, I don't need you. Go help the people that are weak. I'm doing fine. And God's like, Harvey, you need more help than they do. But I didn't know that, and God had to keep working on me. And you realize that God works with us where we're at. He's not disappointed. He's not mad. And he doesn't give up on us when we give up on ourselves. He doesn't get mad at us when we get mad at ourselves. He's like, I'm glad you see that. Now would you turn to me? Would you depend on me? Would you ask me to come and correct and mature that which concerns you? He said, because I'm not giving up on you. He said, you're mine till the end. 3.5 minutes. So, church, they submitted, they followed, power happened. And notice what happened in the next couple of verses, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. What did they do? They were others-minded. They cared for one another. They sought to meet each other's needs. Remember in John 13:35, where it says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, the disciples of Christ, if you have love, agape, laying your life down, others-minded for one another." And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, they were in unity in the church, and breaking bread from house to house, they hung out with each other. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were under the spout where the glory comes out. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People wanted to be part of this. It wasn't hard. It was new. It was a new life. And that life was all in Christ. We're talking about the church. That's the outline. Gave you the homework. Gave you the answers. I know y'all don't like doing homework, but can I give you three verses that goes along with what he just said? Okay. Don't even look at it as homework. Look at it as breath that you need to live this week. Okay? John 4:23-24. And John 6:63. Now, I want to do one thing and then we'll be done. We're going to be 1 minute over. No. Ready? Okay. The kingdom of God. Do you know what our biggest enemy is? I guess it could be, when we say ourselves, it's really our flesh. You know what the biggest problem of our flesh is? Pride. What I think, what I want, what I feel, my own power, my ability, I got this, I understand, I know. So, right now, what if we broke agreement with the spirit of pride and told God, I want to live in the kingdom of humility. I want to live in your kingdom. I'm going to pray. I'm going to try to do it in phrases, but it's kind of hard because I'm flowing here. I feel like God is wanting to flow here. But why don't you say what I'm saying out loud? Make it your prayer. What do you think, Huntress? Okay, here we go. God, I want to break agreement with the spirit of pride. I want to live in the kingdom of humility. And I don't know how to do it. I need you to even teach me that. And so I'm asking you to do that. Jesus, this is my eternal choice. I want to live with you, Jesus, in the kingdom of humility. Make me aware of when I'm operating in pride, when I'm thinking in pride, when I'm feeling in pride, when it's all about me. And help me to break agreement with that when I see it. And again, out loud proclaim, I want to live in the spirit of humility with Jesus Christ as my King. Thank you, Lord. Amen.